welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, everybody. This is Evelyn Hirschquist, Reader Services Librarian, Syosset Public Library, Turn the Page podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Today, we have with us an author, Heather Fries. This is Heather's second book, The Saddest Girl on the Beach, it's called. Heather, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm just going to read a little bit about Heather. This book comes out April 9th, everybody. And Heather is the author of the novel, The Baddest Girl on the Planet, which was her first book. Same characters, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, this is a companion novel.
Winner of the Lee Smith Novel Prize. The book was longlisted for the Center for Fiction's first novel prize and named one of the Women's National Book Association's great group reads. She attended Ohio University for her MA, followed by an MFA in fiction from West Virginia University. Her fiction is deeply influenced by her love of coastal North Carolina and the unique metaphorical aspects of life on the shifting sands of a Barrier Island. She currently writes, edits, and teaches in Raleigh, North Carolina. I finished The Baddest Girl on the Planet, and I mean, The Saddest Girl on the Beach. Sorry. I thought it was a fabulous story. I loved the whole North Carolina coastline. And is that where you live, right in that area?
I live in Raleigh. I live inland a couple, 3 to 4 hours. So I'm kind of in the middle of the state, but I did live, I grew up in Ohio, but I would go down to the Outer Banks every summer to camp on vacation. And so I fell in love with it there during my childhood. And then I did live there for a year after graduate school, but then we moved over to Raleigh. So I'm close enough that I can be within striking distance, but I don't live there on the coast right now.
Yeah, it sounds great. I really want to go.
Yeah, you should totally come down. Lots.
I've never been there, but it just sounded so wonderful.
Yeah, it's a really special place.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. And my question for you is, how do you pick your characters' names? Because my name is Evelyn, same as your character in the book, Evie. I do go by Evie. And my husband's name is Steve.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like reading it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy.
Oh my goodness. No, I named her so long ago. I'm not sure where I came up with the inspiration, but maybe there's some kind of a mind meld going on there, because you got Steve and you got yourself there. I named them years ago during a fiction workshop. I don't know. She does go by Evie, so that's the difference. So,
I spell it the same way, Evie. We pronounce it Evie, but it's funny. I'm reading. I'm like, oh my gosh, my name, and there's my husband, and that's who she ends up marrying. Which, if you read the first book, I didn't read the whole thing. I just started looking through it. Mm-hmm. She's already married to him in the first book, so I'm not giving anything away.
Right. Book. Yeah, exactly. We get the wedding in the Saddest Girl on the Beach.
Right.
We get to see him married. Right. And then you can see how it turns out in the other book.
So just want to tell everybody a little bit what the book's about.
Yeah. So this is like, I think of it as a coming of age story. So it's the story of a girl who loses her father. Her father passes away. And instead of, she goes off to college. She's young. So she's just starting college, about 19. And instead of continuing to do that and to live her sort of straight trajectory of what she thought she would do with her life, she drops out of school and moves down to the Outer Banks of North Carolina to live at the inn that is owned by her best friend Evie's parents. And so Charlotte is grieving at this point and just sort of lost and unmoored. And at the same time, her best friend Evie has just found out that she is pregnant, which was unexpected. And so they are in these two different mindsets and two different major life changes, and living together at the inn on the water of Hatteras Island, and having to navigate these new changes in their lives and their friendship at the same time. Charlotte, as a way of moving through her grief, starts to figure out that romantic relationships help kind of make her feel alive again. And so she starts more than one with possibly questionable choices that are going to hurt her best friend also.
Yeah, it's good. The romance, there's sadness, there's a wedding, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I just, like I said, I love the location, being in the inn, and everything about it just seemed, I want to go there. Does it exist?
It kind of does. So it sort of does. So this is an imaginary version. But there's an inn called the Inn on Pamlico Sound. If there's a whole like series of serendipitous occasions for this inn, we stayed there. My mom and I stayed there for just a night or so. And I just fell in love with it. It's like sort of like I describe it in the book. Like, it's right on the water. It's beautiful. All these pretty rooms, and you feel very taken care of. And so we stayed there just really briefly, and it just triggered my imagination so much. I started writing about it and like made a fictionalized version for Evie's parents to own. And then after I got married, randomly, years later, my very, very new husband got a job at that inn. And so we moved down there.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, the same inn. And I worked there at the front desk, and he was a chef at the time. We worked in the restaurant, and we lived at that inn for a year. And that's where I had my baby. It was pretty astonishing that life worked out that way. But I've been living there in my imagination for years, you know, and then we got to go down and live there in real life. So it was really special. It's a really special year.
Wow. Are the characters based on real people?
Not really. I mean, you do this thing, at least I do this thing as a writer, where I take tiny little snippets of people or dialogue or things that have happened and put them into characters, so make them make believe. So no, none of the characters in the book are based on people that lived or worked there, because like I was just there for a day and like I started to imagine things. But I mean, there's definitely parts of myself, parts of people that I know, but like not a whole like this. I know this person, and now this person has become, you know, Evie, that kind of a thing.
Right. And which character do you like writing the best?
Oh my gosh, that's a hard question. They're very different. I will say that when I love writing Charlotte's voice, because it's very, very lyrical and very poetic. So I can sink into that sort of a mindset. But then when I started writing Evie in first person, it was a big surprise. Because I just wanted to write a little bit about what happened to her. And I wasn't planning to write a whole novel about her. But when I started writing in her voice, I just fell in love with it, because it was so much fun and so different from Charlotte's. But I enjoy writing them both.
Okay.
I love the first person.
Very nice. Yeah, no, it's very good. It really is. Definitely enjoyed it. So where do you teach? Do you teach writing or...
Yeah, I'm just started back to teaching. I've been home with my kids. My youngest just started kindergarten, so I'm just starting back part-time at Meredith College. So I'm teaching composition, and now I've got an advanced composition course, and I'm going to do creative writing. So, and I'm teaching some creative writing workshops in Raleigh coming up.
Very nice.
Yeah.
When do you take the time to write? You have such youngins.
Yeah, it's hard to find that time.
Yeah.
Just trying to squeeze it in when I can right now.
Wow, yeah. Did you always want to be an author?
Yeah, I think so. I did, and then I thought, oh, that's not practical, I can't do that. And so I didn't study it for a while, and then I went back and decided that I had to. So yeah, I always loved to read, like always, always, always loved to read. I would always just get lost in books from the time I was really young. So those have been my sort of constant passion of my life. And then I decided to just go for it and study creative writing.
Very good. Very nice. Do you tour for your books? Do you go out on tour?
Yeah, that's coming together now. I have a few events coming up. I have a luction in North Myrtle Beach with Polly's Island Book Club, and then I have a launch in the Triangle area on April 30th. They're going to get to be in conversation with Jill McCorkle. So that's extremely exciting.
Very nice.
Excited about that. That's at Quail Ridge Books. So anyone local to Raleigh who wants to check that out, check out Quail Ridge's website. They're a wonderful independent bookstore in Raleigh. And then I'm going to be down on the Outer Banks June 6th, I think. June
Very
5th,
nice. 6th,
yeah, doing a little Outer Banks tour. And more is coming together now, but it's not quite finalized yet.
That's fabulous. Good for you. Yeah. And Jill McCorkle, he actually has a little review of your book. It says, Heather Fried's latest novel, The Saddest Girl on the Beach, is a moving meditation on grief and the forces that pull people together and tear them apart. The coastal setting is so rich and beautifully rendered. You can practically hear the waves, a rhythm that mirrors the highs and lows of loss and love. Wow, I agree with that. 100%.
Isn't that amazing? Oh,
yes, it's absolutely. You can hear the waves.
Yeah,
you really can. When you're reading your book, you really feel, I mean, I live on Long Island, so we have beaches everywhere. So
right.
We like to go out to Montauk, and it's just being on the water and the beach and going to sleep with the waves, it's the best. It really
is. Yeah. It does something like it, like, I don't know, it changes your mindset somehow. And when I was writing this, I was thinking, like, what if, like, the only thing that she thinks, Charlotte, who is in a state of grief right now because she has lost her dad, like, the only thing she thinks is going to help is that setting, right? And that, like, just like to be there on the beach and hear the waves and feel like the meditative aspect of it. And also to feel part of something bigger, like, you always sort of feel so small when you're there with that awesome sort of power. But then you also feel connected to it all, like connected to the world. And so that's sort of how she's viewing the setting and how I wanted the setting to filter through the whole book.
It did. It absolutely did. Were you down at the beach writing this at all? Or?
No, I don't think so. I've started drafting it in Ohio. Sometimes I wrote a lot of it by hand at that point when I started just drafting, and I would sometimes go, I remember I would go sit on a bench by the Hocking River because it was the closest thing to my apartment that had water. So I could just see the reflection of water. So I would seek out bodies of water while I was drafting, but most of it I did not write while I was at the beach.
Are you working on anything now?
Yeah. I've been, right now I've been drafting a lot of companion pieces to publish alongside with the release of the book, but I am working on a third book, which is sort of what I hope is the final piece to the series here with the same characters.
The main character of the book.
Yeah, both of them. I'm going to try to have Charlotte and Evie both be narrators.
Okay.
Maybe a couple others. I haven't quite figured that out yet. I thought I was going to have multiple voices. Like, that's what I'm obsessed with. Multiple first person point of view narrations, and that's what I started out to write, was like probably four main voices, but Charlotte and Evie have kind of taken over, so they might just they might just end up swapping out for the whole book, but we'll see. Gotta sit down and work on that.
What about the male characters? You don't want to make any one of them.
No, they're not going to be main characters.
No.
No, I find it, I tried to do that a while back and have like lots and lots of voices. And I find writing male characters from a first person point of view to be really difficult. So maybe I should challenge myself to do that. But right now, Evie and Charlotte have kind of taken center stage. And I love writing about issues that are sort of pertinent to women and how women have to navigate through the world.
Right.
So that's sort of what I'm drawn to. Not to say that at some point I shouldn't challenge myself to try a male point of view. But right now I'm kind of deep into this world that the women have to navigate.
And what kind of books do you like to read?
Oh, I love literary fiction. I love literary and upmarket. So I like stuff, you know, it's sort of like the write what you like to read. So I like to read accessible literary fiction that is, you know, not trying to be snotty and you know, self-aggrandizing, but something that is rich with characters and rich with setting and this humor and you know, a good plot, stuff like that. And sometimes I like to read YA. I love YA for an escape. I've always loved reading young adult.
You can name one or two books that you've read recently. Go ahead.
Recently, let's see, I read Lessons in Chemistry recently. I
That was
enjoyed
great.
that a lot. I read Remarkably Bright Creatures. Like, I
Also a
love
great
that.
one.
And then, like, my YA book recently was, oh my God, what was it called? It had dragons. It had the dragons in it. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's the girl who has to, there's a school. God, I'm blanking on the name. Anyway, it was YA and it had dragons and it was really readable.
That's not my genre at all, but
my
they're
daughter's really into
very
dragons.
popular.
Yeah.
Very popular right now. They're on the bestseller list and everything. I mean, they're really taking off.
Yeah, it's all about dragons lately. My daughter's 9 and she loves
Oh,
the
does
book.
she?
Yeah.
My son used to read all of those when he was younger too. So yeah, loves all the dragon stuff also. But I mean,
They're having drama.
there's a book for everybody. You just got
Right.
to put the right book in their hands and that's
Yeah,
all.
it really is the right book at the right time and you can take off, right?
Right, exactly. Reading is fabulous. It's one of the best things.
It is. I love it so much.
Yeah. So you're lucky. You're lucky to be an author. It's a wonderful profession. It really is. It's a great,
Yeah.
we really appreciate all the authors that come and talk to us because, you know, it's funny because before COVID, we weren't able to do, we didn't have the means to do this, but we really did, but we didn't know we did. And
Right.
now it's like, I mean, you're down in North Carolina. I never would have spoken to you before. Unless,
Yeah, it's
so it's really
interesting
taken off.
how much things have changed and
Yeah.
what we've lost and what we've gained. Like it's
Right.
really, really fascinating. I was
Yeah.
talking to my kids. My kids were saying they something about their computers, and I was saying, I'm like, do you guys remember like before COVID, you didn't have a computer when you went to school? And they were saying, yes, we did. We always had computers. And I was like, no, you just don't remember. Like, this is what it used to be like.
Right.
But it didn't used to be Zoom. All like there wasn't. I mean, I guess it existed, but we didn't
Yeah.
use it.
Well, Skype was the popular one to use.
Skype, yeah. We had Skype.
You were able to Skype with people, but it wasn't as prevalent. It wasn't done all the time, every day, you know.
Yeah, just like part of your life, yeah. And that's been a really good part of being able to connect with people, like just around the world. Especially book people, you know, like it's really cool. It's been really neat to be able to connect across good distances.
Yeah. So was your first book written during the pandemic? Is that when you started writing or?
No, I wrote these a long time ago. I started drafting. This has been like, I'm kind of a slow writer, and this The Saddest Girl has definitely been a long process. So I wrote The Saddest Girl on the Beach years and years ago. I drafted it like in Ohio, and parts of it are well, the death of the father character is autobiographical because I was my dad had just passed away probably about 6 months before I started writing this. And so I started writing it in part as a way to move through my own grief. But using it was sort of a process of transformation where I couldn't write about it for months and months. And then I started to imagine things like what if there was a character who had just lost her dad? What if there was, you know, what if her situation was different from mine and that she was a lot younger? What if, and what if she decided to like leave her family and her support network and everything that she knows and values and loves and just leave and like go down to the beach and have to deal with this by herself in this environment? And then what would happen if her best friend, you know, was in a very different mindset and had just gotten pregnant? So at that point I started to imagine it and I started to write. So I wrote it like years ago and just sort of drafted it and got it all out. And then I put it away and I put it away for years and years and years. And I wrote Baddest Girl on the Planet after that. So I actually wrote Baddest Girl after this.
Oh, okay.
I just published it first because I, for The Saddest Girl on the Beach, I would go back and I knew I had to revise it. I knew it needed, you know, work to get to where it could be publishable. But at that point, like even years down the line, it was still so emotionally raw that I couldn't quite go back into it. And so with Evie's story, like that was just, you know, fun and joyful. And I revised it and got it published. And then I finally was able to go back to The Saddest Girl on the Beach with enough distance and enough clarity where I could look at it and see what needed to happen from a standpoint of craft and to see what needed to be changed and what was working and what wasn't working, just with enough, like enough distance that I could revise it and get it to where it needed to be as a work, you know, on its own and not just me moving through, moving through my own grief. So that took a long time, but I'm very pleased with how it eventually came out. And I think it needed to have that time, maybe not quite so long, but honestly, it kind of did. It kind of needed that amount of time and distance to get to where I needed to be.
Now, The Baddest Girl, I see there's an audio book for that, but I can't find an audio for The Saddest Girl on the Beach. Is there one going to be coming out?
I believe there will be one coming out. It just hasn't been done yet because it is it's still new.
Yeah, because I found the other one on Overdrive, but this one I couldn't find. So I was wondering if it would be out. Okay, great. So I thank you so much, Heather, for being with us. It was really great to talk to you. And I look forward to reading the next book about Evie and Charlotte. Thank you. Yes, I do. And also, I do like the male characters in this book also. Her brother.
All right. And oh, Michael. I love Kate.
They're great characters also.
They are. They'll definitely be back. I can't leave them behind.
Okay, good.
I should bring Michael back too.
Yes,
but thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking with you.
So we're going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.